So a message today is on the last phrase of the Lord's Prayer. It's interesting because when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we've been talking about this for a while, and we've been praying this, we've been saying this prayer, and we often will start out by saying the prayer. And I want us to continue with that. Now remember, the Lord's Prayer, as it appears in your Bibles, depending on the translation of the Bible you have, will have a phrase either included or not. And the last phrase of the Lord's Prayer, sometimes people ask me, why is it that some churches say that last phrase and some don't? Well, in our Bibles, in our English translation of the Bible, the English translation was translated from the Greek. How many of you know? It was translated from the Greek manuscripts. But the Greek manuscripts, basically, there are what they call early manuscripts, which were dated, when they found them, they were dated back quite old. Okay, then there were the later manuscripts. And the later manuscripts of the Greek are the most prevalent. So they have many copies of the later. So some of the translations that appeared earlier, like how many heard about the King James Version? You know, how many heard about the New American Standard Version? These are translations that appeared around 1600s. But these translations included a phrase which says, "Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, later, newer translations, a lot of the more modern translations, they have come and they've relied more heavily on the older manuscripts, and they felt maybe they're more accurate. Well, in the older manuscripts, that phrase isn't there. Now, it's interesting because it's not like a big deal, but I want to explain that to you partly because you open your Bible, it's not there. Well, you open another one, it's there. Now, this is the thing. Now, here's my thought. Okay. Now, personally, I think it's a great statement. Okay. So, personally, I'm going to talk about it. Now, here's the thing. Let's just say if it was or wasn't in the original, I'm just going to make this statement. The important thing is biblical. Okay, what does that mean? Does it fit with the rest of the Bible? Are you following me? So in other words, if it's not biblical, if it doesn't go with the flow of the Bible, then I might question it. But I think it fits well. I personally think it fits so well, it really rounds out the Lord's Prayer in a very, very powerful way. So I want you to hear this. When we come to this phrase, let's pray it with that sense. Yeah, let's pray it with that sense of agreement that this is part of this prayer. Because when you think of the Lord's Prayer, it begins with God and then ends with God. In between, you got the requests. See, isn't that cool? So I would like to leave it, and I'm going to preach on it this morning in that context. Are you with me? All right, so let's just say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited about this today because it just, when I think about what we're considering here, we're considering the Lord saying to us, hey guys, this is a way that you can approach me. This is how you can connect with me, connect with my kingdom, connect with my will, connect with my purposes. So we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer and we're thinking, yeah, you know, this is really the prayer, a model prayer. And we've been looking at that. So some of the things that should be included in our prayers to God should be these things. Like these things are just little tidbits, but we expanded on them, right? So now when we pray, we should always be thinking, who we approach is Father in heaven. Daddy who gives good gifts to his kids. When you ask of him bread, he's not going to give you a stone. Come on, he's going to give you the good things from his heaven. So even though you might not see it yet manifested, you can expect your Father in heaven is looking out for you. Amen. He is in heaven. His perspective on everything. He sees the beginning and the end. He sees it all. And it's about his kingdom. It's about his rule, his purposes, his will. Come on, his will being done. And then we ask those personal requests to our Father in heaven. And we say, Lord, give us, because it's his will. It's his will to take care of our daily needs. And what's interesting about it is when you look at the fact that God wants to give us our daily bread, we look at, I just came from a holiday, and somebody asked me a question. What's that country like? Barbados, where we just went to. Somebody said, I got a nice suntan. I said, yeah, I have it all the time. Anyhow, so we just got back, and yeah, I do get a little darker, by the way. I do have a couple of tan lines. If you're wondering, somebody already noticed. Okay, so, but when you go to another country, you see this more disparity between people who have or have not. Now, it's very, obviously, we heard about a ministry, Gifts from the Heart, they're wanting to help people who don't have much and don't have the means or are going through hard times. So we know that there are poverty everywhere. So when we ask this question, give us this day our daily bread, God is not just saying to us, give me my daily bread. He's saying, give us. Interesting, isn't it? The Lord's Prayer is about us. Everything about the Lord's Prayer is about us. Our Father. So that means I consider me, I consider you in my prayer. Amen? It's about give us this day. I consider my needs, I consider your needs. So we do take care of, because God has called us to. So let's never forget that. The Lord's Prayer is about corporate us, community. So give us this day. Well, maybe God's asking me to help somebody. So this, exactly, right on. So let's not forget, that's part of God's answering that prayer is our wallets. That's what I'm talking about. Part of seeing the answer to the Lord's Prayer is my participation. That's the point I'm making here. That's what you saw the early church do. Come on, do you see that? Amen. So then the Lord's Prayer is about forgiveness, and we talked about that, the importance of forgiveness. Let's never forget that. And then the importance of recognizing temptation. Think about this. As he goes into this part, he says, lead us not into temptation, recognizing that temptation is a part of humanity. Well, what he's saying is, Lord, let me not fall into temptation. Let me not be trapped. Keep me out of those traps of the enemy, Lord. Those lures that he's setting out for me. I'm ready to go fishing. I went out hey, how many of you know you can go do worm hunting? Oh, you're saying, what are you talking about? I went out to get some bait. If you're wondering, what in the world are you talking about? I went out to get those things, they call them night crawlers or dew worms. They're worms that are that long, and they only come out at night. If you didn't know, if you're walking, girls, if you're walking on ground, on wet ground in the summer evenings, watch out, there's worms down there. I'm serious. I got home and I said, this is ideal. It's a nice foggy night, and I've got a nice bucket full of bait, ready to go fishing. Come on. All right, but I'm using those things to trick the fish, right? So the devil's up there setting up traps to trick you. And the prayer is, Lord, lead me not into temptation, because the traps are everywhere. And you know the weaknesses of my heart. What's interesting about it is, you know, there's temptation everywhere, but the devil knows my weakness. It's not the same as your weakness. Maybe it is, but I'm saying oftentimes it's different. So I'm just saying, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil or the evil one. I was thinking about it last week. I didn't really get, 2 weeks ago, I didn't really get to preach on this section. Or I didn't go to one place I wanted to go. And that is, you know, in John 17, how many know that prayer? Jesus prays in John 17. How many know the prayer of Jesus in John 17? Do you know? Well, maybe you're looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. All right. All right, okay, I know it's a big prayer, but you know the prayer. So I'm just going to go to one phrase, because, and this is all going to fit together, because when we go to the last part, it'll just all tie in. So John 17, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I just need to know where I'm at. Okay, John 17, And this really is the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer that Jesus offers on our behalf before he leaves. It's like he's saying, Father, here, look at verse 1. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. You granted authority over authority over all people. So this is Jesus talking to God for us. The whole prayer is talking to God on our behalf. But I love this section here, because when you think about temptation, it would be great if we didn't have temptation. How many would like that? Well, did Jesus know there was going to be temptation? Of course, he went through the temptations himself, yet without sin. So he knows about temptation. But here's the thing. Jesus knew that that he was going to leave us in this world, but he did not ask that we would be taken out of the world. And when you... there's a couple of phrases here. Listen to verse 12. John 17, 12. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. Not one of them is lost, except one doomed to destruction, so the scriptures might be fulfilled. Of course, that's Judas, right? I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, and they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. What does that mean? I said, the Lord could have saved you and brought you into his kingdom, heaven, like this, if he wanted to. He said, that's not his intent. His intent is not that you take them out of this world, but that you protect them from... Hey, come on. Jesus has already prayed the prayer for you. How many are glad about that? I'm telling you, when I saw that, I said, yeah, the Lord's already prayed that prayer for me. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil, or the evil one. Jesus already prayed that prayer. So, you know what? I'm just coming in agreement with his prayer. I go through life, temptations, trials, and difficulties come. I just know Jesus got my back. Because you know what? He ever lives to become my intercessor. He ever lives, in Hebrews 7, he ever lives to make intercession for me. And if anybody's prayer is going to be answered, whose is? I know his is. So I'm just saying, Lord, I'm agreeing that you're keeping me from, in other words, you're keeping me from those worms. Because those worms are dangling in the water. They're looking pretty good. But I know that Jesus is watching out for me. Come on. And I'm going to agree that he's going to keep me from evil and the evil one. I just need to recognize that I'm his. I'm not my own. So now I want you to come to the last phrase, because it's all connected. See, when I recognize all this, I have to continually... So I confess this. This is a great confession. What I'm going to share with you, we sometimes call it a benediction. You know what a benediction is? It's sort of like a last thing you share. It's a statement of exclamation. It's really what it is. But it's important to see it in the context. He says, listen. He says, yours is the kingdom. It's about time we get thinking that way and confessing the truth. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Forever, amen. Ever and ever, amen. I want you to see this way. First of all, it's a confession of truth. When I pray the Lord's Prayer and I make that statement, I am confessing reality. I'm confessing a truth that's more real than the temptations that are out there. I'm actually saying the same thing in a different way when I said when I began the Lord's Prayer. At the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, I said, my Father who's in, yours is the kingdom. I'm actually almost like refocusing again. It's like, oh, yeah, all this stuff. Now, let's get back on track. You're in heaven. Yours is the kingdom. It means you rule over all things, God. You're sovereign over everything, Lord. Yours is the kingdom. Come on, no matter what the kingdoms of the world and the kingdoms of this life or the, any, you know, I'm talking about what things seem to project as being dominant and powerful. If they seem to be whatever they are, yours is the kingdom above that kingdom. If the kingdom of darkness is throwing its arrows at me and putting out the bait and putting out the temptation, your kingdom is greater. Come on. So when we recognize in Ephesians 6, he says, put on the armor of God. How do you do that? Well, you could do all the little parts if you want to. You know what I do? I just give it to God. You're going to say, no, you're cheating. Let me tell you how I do it. He says, put on the armor of God. You know what I do? I just put God on as my armor. Taking a shortcut here. Hear me out. When I have God as my armor, he's my refuge, he's my fortress, he's my defense, I just say, God, you're my armor. Now, if you want to, you can go through the details of every part of the armor, but it's all God. Are you following what I'm getting at here? Did I lose you? It says, put on the armor of God. So who am I putting on? Because the first part says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So I'm just saying, Lord, you're on. I'm walking with you on. Because when that temptation comes, when that evil comes, I am wearing the armor of God. I have the belt of truth. I have the breastplate of righteousness. I have the shield of faith. You see, it's all there. Now, guys, listen. You're going to say, well, no, really? You're talking about it? Well, I was in Barbados, and I was at a beach a lot. And you think it was temptations? I am a man. Come on, let's get down to it here, guys. Yay! Everybody here? Okay. Do you think I need to put on the armor of God?
Yes.
Many times. God is my refuge and my strength. Does that mean temptation wasn't there? Worms weren't dangling in front of me? Come on now. Let's be real, right? God is my refuge and strength. Does that mean my eye couldn't wander? It may have. I said, Lord, keep me from, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from the evil one. You are my armor. You keep me right because I am right in your eyes. Amen. I'm righteous in your eyes, so let's not get into anything that's not right. Amen. We're talking about reality here, guys. We're talking about where the rubber meets the road. So yours is the kingdom. So you're, first of all, we have to acknowledge his rule over all things, over evil, over all things. So it's interesting, you know, we're coming into election time. It's a good time to bring up this phrase. Yours is the kingdom. Yes, sir, Mr. Premier, Mr. McLaughlin is in power now. And in 10 days, we have no idea who will be. You know, if you look at the polls, they're kind of going all over the place. But guess what? Yours is the kingdom. You're the Lord of the heaven and earth. You're the Lord over government. You're the Lord over this nation. You're the Lord over the province. So you're the Lord over this ministry, gift from the heart. See, it's acknowledgement, Betty. It's acknowledgement. You guys, it's acknowledgement. It's knowing and confessing and believing that the Lord is sovereign God. Yours is the kingdom. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. How many heard that before? He's the God of the nations. How many heard that before? He establishes kings. He puts kings on the throne. He takes kings off the throne. How many heard that before? I have a part to play. I'm going to be responsible. I'm going to pray. I hope you're praying for the election. I hope you participate. Amen? There's practical things. But in the end, whoever gets in. It wasn't, I wasn't personally pleased with who got in last time. I'm just saying. But guess what? Once people got in, I recognized who is sovereign? God. Right? So I just trust God with the choice. I did my part. Now I pray for the government. Amen. I pray, bless those leaders. Amen. Give them wisdom. Give them guidance. So that's important. So the point here is this, in this context, that yours is the kingdom. We got to recognize that even when it comes to our government, when it comes to our nation, when it comes to our province, He is still Lord. Amen? He's sovereign, first of all. Secondly, He's sovereign and Lord over the church. It's really important for you to get this. Do you know, oftentimes, in, especially in ecclesiastic just means governmental. In many, some churches, the governments of the church don't seem to represent the lordship of Christ. Hear me out. So what happens is it's almost like the guy who has the power is your priest or the minister, right? Or another board or something like that. I'm just saying this partly. Yeah, there needs to be government. Please don't misunderstand me. I think there needs to be government. But there always needs to be acknowledgement, even by the church, that He is King over all. Yours is the kingdom. So I need to say to you today, in government, He's to be the Lord, right? In church, we need to acknowledge Him as the head. We need to acknowledge Jesus is the sovereign head over the church. Are you following me? So we want to be in that place in the spirit. Yes, God has given people responsibility. Don't misunderstand me. But there's a place where we need to recognize the headship, the connection, the messages, the communication needs to come from the head. You know, too often it's in the business meetings we come up with the ideas for how the church should go. Rather than saying, let's get to talk to the head, the boss, the chief guy, you know, who really has the plan, and let's find out from him, amen? So then the Lord gives us guidance and direction. So it's important to recognize that, yes, these things are important, administration, government, you know, and meetings, but let's not ever forget that He is to be acknowledged as King. Are you following me? So He's a King of kings. All right, let's get to the next level. That's you, personally, and me personally. Yours is the kingdom. Wow. In my life, God, not my will, but yours be done. When I make this confession at the end of the prayer, I'm saying once again, God, yours is the kingdom. Hey, guess what that means? That means I submit to you. What do subjects in the kingdom do? They submit and subject themselves to the king. How can they do that? Because if he's a good king who takes care of his kids, takes care of his subjects, he'll be like a father in heaven. So I'm submitting to God who is taking care of me. He's my good dad. So I can say to him, yours is the kingdom, God, in my heart. It's not just something I say in the prayer. It's something I believe in my heart. Because if I know that He is my Father in heaven, and He's my King, and He's sovereign over my life, then no matter what happens in my life, I know that He's taking care of it. So when I say yours is the kingdom, I'm saying yours is the sovereign rule in my life. I'm letting you to be ruler in my life. Now, do I need to know everything about God to submit to Him? Do I need to know everything about His ways and His word to submit to Him? You know something? It's true with, you know, even with kids and relationship. You know, there's a place of relationship you come to when God starts to show Himself to you in his goodness, in his mercy, in his kindness. And you can submit to that, you know. You submit to God in a relational level here, guys. And I love this about God, because he knows some of the areas that you might struggle with yet, right? That you can't quite understand. So you're saying, God, I don't know if I can submit this. Do you think he's going to say, well, too bad for you? He's going to say, I'm patient. Listen, I'm willing to work with you. You just submit to those areas, and I'm just going to, you know, those areas that you can. Now, here's the thing. The more I submit to him, you know, well, come on. Submit to God and resist the, and he will flee. So the more I submit, I resist the devil, and he flees, the more I walk in victory. I draw near to God. The more I draw near to God, the more he draws near to me. So I'm just saying, guys, if God is speaking to you about submitting some areas of your life and bring them under the lordship of Jesus, to bring them under that place where he becomes sovereign, and you give that area over to him, see what he does. God just needs that. He just needs that humility. I love the next phrase. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. You know the word power there? The word that's used for power in the Greek, there's two words that are often used for power. One is translated authority. The other one is translated power, in a sense that it's like dynamite. This word is dynamite. And what that word really means is the ability, the supernatural ability. It's the that strength that you get to do something that you don't have on your own. This is, you know what he's actually talking about here? When he says, yours is the kingdom and the power, he's talking about Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the dynamite. Lord, I'm acknowledging yours is the kingdom. Yours is the sovereignty. Yours is the rulership in my life, in the life of our church. Yours is the rulership in the life of this nation. Yours is the power, Lord. There's something to carry out that rulership. There's something that you've given to me in my life. Something you've given to us in our church. Something you've given to us in our nation, which is the Holy Spirit. Follow me, guys. The Lord said to his disciples in Luke 24, when I go to heaven, you shall receive power from on high. How many remember that? Acts 1:8, he says to them, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. Without the power and the presence, another word we can use here is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we might as well be just doing it ourselves. Sad thing is, and you probably heard this phrase, that about 90% of the work in church is done in our power, maybe 80%. But the fact is, if the Holy Spirit was taken away, I'd say we would still be carrying on. Did you hear what I just said? We would still be carrying on doing our thing because we didn't even realize he's gone. Are you getting me? I'd rather submit to God. I'd rather say, Lord, you know, Paul said in Corinthians 2, and I quoted it earlier, Lord, if I come to you with man's wisdom, man's ability, and all this great, articulate, you know, message that is so refined and so well planned out, I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. Hopefully I do some of that, that you get it. But I'm just saying is, I am saying, Lord, let it be that if it's not in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, why bother? What's it going to do? I may convince you, but if God doesn't convince you and if God doesn't do something, it's all in vain. So once again, Lord, I pray, yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the anointing. Without your anointing, God, we are... And it's, what this is saying is we acknowledge that power and strength and ability comes from God and not from me. Not from my great learning, not from my great studying, not from my great preparation. If God isn't here doing his work in our hearts, in our bodies, in our lives, then what use is it? If God isn't walking with me down the street as I'm praying for somebody, not just so I can get another notch on my belt. Oh, notch on my belt. I talked to somebody. I prayed for that person. whoo, yeah, now. Or I, you know, did whatever I did as a good deed, you know. It was just a good thing to do. Rather than saying, God, let your power be released through me today. Boom. Let your power be released today. Let your love be released today, Lord. That she'd feel it, Lord. We don't have to say any words, but it would be the presence of God that would just come into her heart and her mind, and she'd know that God loves her. He's got his best in mind for her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's the demonstration of the power. That's why the gifts of the Spirit are necessary as they were in the early church. Yeah! Wasn't long ago the Lord just said to me, you know, what are you doing? You got the book half closed. I'm serious. I was cessationist. It means that I didn't think the gifts operate anymore. And the Lord just shook my world about 1995. And I said, God, you got to begin. As somebody challenged me, they said, take your glasses off that you've been wearing all these years, put on a new pair of glasses and start reading your Bible without any commentary. And I tell you, I have to say, well, nowhere does it say gifts have disappeared. Wow. Because the gifts of the Spirit demonstrate the power of the Spirit. If the message of the cross is not the power of God to salvation, if the message of the gospel isn't the life-changing message, we need to wake up, church. I want the world to experience God. Not just good information, not just good theology, which is all good. I'm not talking about, you know, we preach theology, we preach doctrine here. But without the presence and the power of God, what good is it? I want mental hospitals to be free. Come on. I want addictions to be broken. Come on, in the name of Jesus, who would agree? It's the power of God. The strongholds are broken as we recognize that the power we have is not of this world. Come on, 2 Corinthians 10. When we wrestle against these strongholds, these things that are coming against the minds of the people, 2 Corinthians 10, Paul says, listen, we can demolish these strongholds that hold people captive in their mind. How? By the weapons we fight with are not of this world. The weapons we fight with are not carnal. They're not of human wisdom. They're not of our ability. Come on. We're talking about a power of God that breaks the yoke. We're talking about anointing that just goes right to the core and does the work. How many want that in your life? Come on, Lord, that's what we need. We need the presence and the connection with God. We need to be soul living. Jesus talked about this. In John 15, Jesus says, without me, you can do. Oh, you can show a lot of things. You can talk a lot. You can give good messages. You can, you know, just convince people. But it's all in your own strength. But he said, if you abide in me, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done. In that passage, he said, you know, if your branch is abiding in me, that's that relationship of communion. That's that understanding that the presence and the power of God that lives in me by the Holy Spirit is to be released through me. Come on, how many are glad about that? That I can release the presence and the power of God. I don't even have to be anything to anybody. To please, you know, I'm not here necessarily to have you, well, you know, it's all good. You know, you did a good job, no, great message. It's okay. I mean, I don't mind hearing that, but I'm just saying if I was living on the laurels of that, then I don't want it. I'm interested when God can come into a life and bring peace and bring presence and bring just the glory in such a powerful way that he goes, boom. Get him, Lord. Get him, Lord, in every way that you desire, Lord. Power be released now in Jesus' name. You're looking for that, man. I'm just releasing that over you right now. Presence and power come into his mind, come into his heart like never before. Rush in, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Even now, Lord, just get him, Lord, from the head to the toe. Ho! Ho! Take it. Take it. You're hungry for it. Take it. So, Lord, it's yours. When you ask of him, he's not giving you a snake. He's giving you he's giving you the Holy Spirit. That's what he says. Whoa. You're going to go out of this place a changed man. Receive what the Lord's giving you right now. Shut up, I got you. And you know what? You're going to witness to that change. There's a hunger in your heart to do, to just, you know, enough of this, man. Come on, listen, I am tired. I've seen far too many places, far too many people in bondage, people in my own life that haven't yet had the taste of the presence and the power of God, and I just wish I could do something. But I say to you, I come humbly before my God, and I say, God, you do it. Sharabakariyata. More, Lord. More for your daughter, God. More healing, more wholeness, more deliverance, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for the healing presence and the power of God. Thank you, Lord, for the deliverance of God. Supernatural presence and power be released in you in Jesus' name. Whew. Without the anointing, without the presence and the power of God, which, you know, we want to operate in, I'm just telling you, it's not just for me. I want you to know this. The power of God is released, the presence of God. That's why the gifts of the Spirit were given to the body. They're not just given to the superstars. Aren't you glad? These gifts of the Spirit for everybody. Read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 together. Just read them all together, and you're going to see, wow, you mean I can ask for the gift of prophecy? He says, yes. You mean I can receive the gift of tongues? He says, yes. Paul says, I speak in tongues more than anybody else. And it's just, that's just it. So we just release the presence and the power of God over your life because God wants to be glorified. Come on, that's the last expression. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the... See, when God shows up and demonstrates his power, it points to him. When God shows up and demonstrates his power, it's like he is to be glorified. Now, oh yeah, there's a chance. Oh, come on now, we're all human. There's a chance that I can say, oh, look how good I am. Look what God did through me. So mine is the glory. Look how good I am. Wow, look at that, man. I got that one just right. I nailed that. I mean, I had that word of knowledge was just right on the money. Or that person, look how they responded, man. I mean, the word on the beach in Barbados, now I go back to the same beach, they call me preacher man. I can say, oh, wow, look how good a job I did witnessing because they call me preacher man. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. The boasting isn't about how good a job I'm doing, how great a ministry you got going. Man, the minute we take it on, you know what happens? The minute we take it on, I'll tell you something, let's not kid ourselves. I like to get applauded. You'd like to get applauded. But let me tell you something, the minute I take it on and thinking it's just me and I'm the one, then I'm telling you, it's so quick I could lose it. There was a king in the Bible, his name was Nebuchadnezzar, and God gave him a great kingdom, Babylon. How many remember that story? And the guy became such a powerful king, and he just said, look at this kingdom that I built. Look at this empire that I built. It's so wonderful. Come on, people. I'm going to build this image. You're going to worship me. How many know that story? And the Lord says, you think you're all of that. Guess what? I'm going to show you what you really are. I'm going to make you act like a wild animal. You're going to eat the grass like a wild animal. And that happened. You know, that's a Bible story, true story. So he became insane and just acted like a wild man. And all of a sudden, you know, Daniel has another dream. Anyways, God just does a work, and eventually the guy's healed, thank God. And he humbles him. God humbles him. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you keep us in this place of humility. Keep us in this place of recognizing whatever gifts, whatever talents, whatever abilities I have come from you, Lord. The gift from God, the power of God, the ability. This is the power and the ability that comes from God. I give it to you as a gift, Lord. I offer it to you, Lord. Lord, I pray for everything. I just said, Lord, let it be that, you know, your intellect, your ability, because you're a smart lady. Shoot. You know, God's given you ability to do things. I pray that God will continue to be glorified in you and through you, Lisa. So, Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, that God's setting things up even now for all of us. I'm just seeing. See, the more I give room to God to get the glory, the more I just give him praise and give him true honor that belongs to him, the more I realize that was the way it's always been. I know there's just something I need to do. Andy, you want to come on back and just get that last song ready? I just want to just say in this moment that God wants to release his kingdom, his rule over your circumstance. Some of you are in a tough circumstance right now that you feel like you don't know how you're going to get a breakthrough. You know, or how you're going to get a break even. That's how you're feeling. How am I even going to get? Come on, I need a break. Right? I know you do, and I'm talking to you, girl. All right, so we're just saying, Lord, I'm asking that you would show each of us that God is sovereign, and he's gone before you, and he's going to make a way when there is no way. Because you're going to acknowledge his power. You're going to say, Lord, I'm sick and tired of doing it myself. I got to get off the throne. The biggest problem we have is getting off the throne of our life. When we're kings of ourselves, and we try to be king of our spouses too, and everybody else around us. Right? So get off the throne. Give him the right to be sovereign and let his power be released. I pray in the name of Jesus that the more I get off the throne, the more I put him back on the throne, the more I recognize his power, his strength, his ability is greater, is going to even work through my weakness. Boom, things are going to happen. And when things happen, breakthroughs happen, who gets the glory? Not me, because he did it. He did it in my weakness. Come on. I'm telling you, God used Paul, somebody who couldn't even hardly say a word. God used Moses, who stuttered. God uses the weak things to confound the wise, because his grace, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Come on. Just give it to him. Some of you are being called into places that are scary. I'm just feeling very much that you call into speaking or saying something. Ooh. God's bigger. Yep. So let's just believe God's bigger. Let's give him that place of kingship over that thing in Jesus' name. Just recognize God's bigger than the report you hear, the news you hear, the word you hear, the TV you watch. I don't care what it is. In Jesus, God's given you something to step into that's right now you're feeling like, I don't know if I have the nerve to do it. Step into him because you got the courage to do what you got to do. I know you're feeling like there's something going on. I got a decision to make. I got something to say, something to do. I don't know if I have the nerve to do it. God's given you the grace to do it. Step into it and watch the victory of the Lord. So the Lord just gives us wisdom, gives us prophetic things, gives us words to speak, and boom, when they hit, you know there's something in your spirit on that, isn't there? You watch and see. I know the Lord's giving you something. Just watch the Lord. So the Lord is releasing things of the kingdom. That's the gifts of the Lord operating. So we just say, okay, Lord, what's that? What's coming up that I just know I need the courage to make that choice or make that statement? That's for my good friend over there, the word. But it doesn't matter. The Lord operates in our life and freedom comes, amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to give Andy the last few minutes to lead us in a, I really felt we needed to close out. would give him glory, amen, and give him praise, for he is King, he is Lord, he's sovereign God. Man, we're going to see things shift. I am believing God for every church on PEI to be packed and in the presence of God to be so real. I'm asking the Lord to shake us, to shift us, to change us, to revive us. Come on, in Jesus' name. So, Lord, let it be. Let it be, God, in Jesus' name. Releasing the kingdom over this island. In Jesus' name, amen.
Supposed to be gone 2 months ago, and anyway, they had a benefit for him last Friday at the Murphy Center. We went, and I'm telling you, every room and every person in that room, and there must have been at least 130 people in that room, had tears in their eyes because this gentleman told them. He knew where he was going, and he offered the invitation to them that they could have it too. What a powerful witness that was. Also this week, Rob and I spent most of our day in the courtroom to support somebody. And in that courtroom, it was a long, long day. But in that courtroom, there were young people like we have in our church. Not one person to support them. And God laid it on my heart to sit there and pray for them. Pray for the judge making the decisions and whatnot. And the shackles they had on and the handcuffs and everything. There's, as Noel says, there's powerful things going on in this city. Things that you haven't seen before. And Lord, this gentleman, God bless him. He hasn't died 2 months ago because God had things still for him to do. And it showed it last Friday when he invited everybody to accept Jesus.
Amen. 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 Be glorified. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Let's just sing to the Lord and we just close out with this song. Amen.
And nations all shall come and bow before your throne. Every tribe and every tongue worshiping our God alone.
Let's sing that again. Kings and nations.
Kings and nations all shall come and bow before your throne. Every tribe and every tongue worshiping our God alone. From Zion, O Lord, shall your name be told. Of your love through all of the earth, O precious Lamb, by your sacrifice, salvation comes, salvation. And our God alone. From Zion, O Lord, shall your name be told, to sing of your love through all of the earth.
From Zion, O Lord.
Hallelujah. I declare over every one of you that word, Hosanna. Salvation, come now. Healing, come now. Deliverance, come now. Breakthrough, come now. What the Lord has for you, for your personal life, for your family, for your situation, I'm asking. I'm speaking, Hosanna. This is the day. Salvation come. Salvation come to your household in Jesus' name. Reconciliation come. Restoration come. Families that are split apart come together in Jesus' name. Breakthroughs come now in Jesus' name. We're speaking the word of the Lord. We're saying things that are bringing glory to God because only God can do it. I know of situations in my heart right now that I'm asking God to do it, and I know I can't do it myself. I wish I had the ability to change someone's life. I don't. But He does. I'm asking for that breakthrough for you and your household and you and your situations in Jesus' name. Watch what happens. Come on, don't limit God to your inability, because your inability is a place for God to show up and to show off. To show up and to show off, because He wants to show the world His salvation. So in Jesus' name, I pray that where you go today, where you go this week, that your feet, your mind, your body, your life, everything will just flow and it will glow as you are. I declare over you, you are the salt of the earth. Come on. You are the light set on a hill. I declare over you, you're a city set on a hill that people will come and they will be given light in that situation, in the environment you go to this week. I declare over you that your good deeds that you do before men, that they will glorify your Father in heaven before they glorify you in Jesus' name. And if they glorify you, you give it back to the Father. Amen. Come on, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.